Welcome to Sunday Reflections. I'm the Reverend Jacqueline Sheldon from St. Paul's Episcopal Church at 220 Valley Street in Willimantic. I am so grateful to God to be able to share with you on this Palm Sunday. We're about to leave the Lenten desert. This Sunday is the beginning of Holy Week. For the past 40 days, we have been focusing on deepening our relationship with God by considering the places where we have kept God at a distance. Today and throughout the next 6 days, we will be concentrating on Jesus' death upon the cross and God's deep desire to draw us into an intimate and profoundly powerful relationship with Him. I pray that your journey through Holy Week will give you great assurance of how much you are loved by God and embolden you to answer God's call wherever it leads you with joy and anticipation. This week's story comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 14th and 15th chapters. It is a mysterious and complex reporting of Jesus' last few days before his death. Every year during the week before Easter, most churches remember the story of Jesus' death before they celebrate his resurrection. After all, Easter doesn't make much sense without Good Friday. In the 14th chapter, Mark sets the stage with some mysterious reports on the activities of Jesus and his disciples. The Passover and the Festival of the Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. They didn't want to do it during the festival because it might cause a riot. Things were always particularly tense in Jerusalem during the Passover. It is, and was to this day, the celebration of freedom from oppression and slavery for the Israelites as they remembered their journey out of Egypt led by God long ago. The Romans always sent extra troops into the city just to be sure nobody got carried away. Living under the great oppression of Roman dictators. The Romans always sent extra troops into the city just to be sure nobody got carried away. Living under the great oppression of Rome, things could happen. At dinner in Bethany, on the evening before the Passover meal, a woman, who was not named, breaks an alabaster jar open and pours very expensive perfume made of pure nard over Jesus' head, anointing him. I can almost smell the fragrance as it explodes in the room. People are disturbed. This was so extravagant. The bottle would have cost a year's wages. They protested that she was wasting good money that could have gone to the poor. They were responding in concern for the poor just the way Jesus had taught them all along. Here's the mysterious thing. He appears to go against all that he's taught as he claims this gift for himself as rightly done and deserved. He defends her and says she will be remembered for what she did. He says the poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare me for my burial. Imagine how confusing that moment must have been for everyone. As a matter of fact, immediately following this, Judas Iscariot went out to the chief priests and cut a deal with them to set Jesus up for his arrest. We can only imagine what he was thinking. Then we get to the next strange event. On the first day of the Festival of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him where he wanted them to go and make preparations for him to eat the Passover meal. We have no idea how Jesus knows any of this, but he instructs two of his disciples to go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet them. He says, "Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upstairs room, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." Mark says all of this happened just as Jesus said that it would. In a city filled with streets that twist and turn and go to dead ends, teeming with all kinds of people, How could Jesus have described these steps exactly and had them come true? Mystery. At dinner that night, woven into the beautiful rituals of the Passover meal, Jesus teaches them that from now on, the bread and the wine will be his body and blood of the new kingdom. He tells them that one of them will betray him. He says, "The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had never been born." At this holy meal, he includes the fact that everyone there will desert him. Peter protests, and Jesus tells him he will deny him three times before the cock crows twice that very night. Imagine that Passover feast. The Lamb of God tells them how they will be broken and then how they will be saved. He tells them that even in their weakness, he loves them and will always love them. They will know it by his actions. He says, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Even the worst thing they could do, desert him, will not separate them from Jesus. He will come and find them and show them how much he loves them. So they sing a hymn to conclude their meal and then go out to the garden. Here, the most important prayer of Jesus' life that he prays for himself gets answered with a no. Three times he begs the Father to take this cup from him. He knows he is alone. Even his best friends can't stay awake and be with him. At the arrest, Judas comes and betrays him with a kiss. The guards take Jesus, and everyone scatters. Jesus stands silent before the Sanhedrin. The only question he answers of the high priest is, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" To which Jesus replies, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." It is this answer that gets him killed. As I mentioned before, many think Mark was with Peter and that his gospel is the recording of Peter's memories. And so we finish chapter 14 with the excruciating story of Peter's three denials of Jesus. When the cock crows for the second time, Peter realizes he has denied Jesus three times, just as Jesus said he would, and he weeps bitterly. Jesus knows Peter better than Peter knows himself. Chapter 14 is all about God's love for those who love him the best they can. The woman with the perfume, the disciples who flee, and even Judas. Jesus does not condemn him. He says he will die as intended, but it will be worse for the one who betrays him. It would be better for him if he had never been born. It is reported in the Gospels that when Judas realized the chief priests and teachers of the law were going to turn Jesus over to the Romans to be crucified, he was so brokenhearted he threw the money back at them and went and hanged himself. Maybe this is why Jesus said what he did. It doesn't mean he ever stopped loving Judas. He knew how terribly Judas would suffer. He considered Judas's death worse than his own. See how much Jesus loves all those who seek to love him. In chapter 15, we are presented with Jesus' brutal death, the torture, the mocking, the crying out. This part of the story is not told just to provoke deep emotions, although it does. We need to absorb it and move beyond it to see the truth. We need to recognize that in chapter 15, at the death of the cross, Jesus now shows his profound love for the entire world. Jesus did not obediently go to his death just to make us cry, be appalled, or reject the whole idea, although many have. He went through his death to strengthen and embolden his followers. Because if you believe in him and what he did, you will see. You will see the power of God in your life. You will see the power of God in what you do. In our season of suffering, with bombings, shootings, lying, corruption, abuse of all sorts to human beings and to the planet by human beings, the death of Jesus still rings out as true love. It rings out as forgiveness. It rings out as healing. It rings out as mercy. It rings out as compassion. It rings out as reconciliation, and most importantly, it rings out as true power to transform ourselves and the world around us. I invite you this week to move back into the silence as you leave the Lenten desert. Take some time in silence to read through Mark's account of Jesus' death and let him talk to you with words of love and power that draw you deeper into the knowledge of his love. If you can attend a Maundy-Thursday service or a Good Friday service and be present with other Christ followers as we remember Jesus' love, that would be great. At St. Paul's, our Maundy-Thursday service includes a soup supper that starts at 6 o'clock, and our Good Friday service begins at noon and goes to 3 to be with Jesus during the hours of his death. You can come for the full 3 hours or just stop by and say a prayer of love and thanksgiving to Jesus. Well, that's it for the week. Remember, you are welcome at St. Paul's. Check out our website for our weekly activities. And if you want to hear this message again, you can go to our Facebook page. Have a light-filled, holy week of love, peace, and assurance. And now, I want to send you out with the song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and poor contempt. On all my pride, forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ.
Flow mingled down.
my